democracy or take, say, freedom, freedom never, ever lasts forever. And the framers, the most daring thing they raised was, could freedom last forever? They said, yes, if you do it this way. But we, in the current generation, I don't mean we Christians, but Americans today, have abandoned the framers' way of doing it. And the question is, what have we replaced it with? And is it realistic to think it'll last? No, it was 230-odd years. Is not very long. I mean, the Roman Empire lasted four times that. I mean, not four times, 800 years at least, and many empires far, far more than that. This is not very long. So we've got to look at history and look at the world today and be far more far-sighted than many evangelicals are at the moment.
Oz Guinness is an author, social critic, and author of several books, including The Case for Civility and Why Our Future Depends on It. Oz, let's talk a little bit about building bridges and a bit about civility. But how do we go about building some sort of consensus or unity in a new government era?
We've got to work out what actually civility is. It is not another word for niceness. Civility is a republican virtue, with a small r, and a democratic necessity. It's the oil that allows us to get on with our deepest differences. And if it breaks down in the public square and the culture warring deepens, then America's future is very limited. So we've got to explore what civility is and then have the guts to stand for it. Now, we who are followers of Jesus, we have our own reasons to be civil. We don't call it civility, but the Bible calls it, say, speaking the truth with love. And we have grand precedents in history, like William Wilberforce, who really treated his enemies with extraordinary love. And he had vicious enemies, far worse than we have today. And he was very, very different from the extremes of the Christian right. So we have got to behave Christianly. And the worst thing today is that Christians have been sub-Christian and often anti-Christian in the way they fought political battles. And this is rebounding against us and deepening the hostility to us.
Are the issues that we have been brought forth, are they really a part of a culture war, or is it just simply a partisanship? I mean, are there some issues that sort of go beyond moral or cultural viewpoints?
Well, there are obviously deep culture war issues, supremely abortion and same-sex marriage. But many of the other issues are purely partisan. So not all the issues are culture-warring issues. And, of course, abortion is terribly important, and so is same-sex marriage. But however important the issue is, we've got to fight them, and the word fight should be in inverted commas, we've got to fight them with truth mixed with love and really always forgive those who injure us and always love our enemies. And if we don't, we're just being modern reactionaries and not followers of Jesus.
You mentioned a little bit earlier just talking about the kind of a watershed time in our nation. And I know you've written The American Hour, and you mentioned William Wilberforce. I mean, there have been seasons of change that, you know, can turn on just a several issues or a few people. Talk a little bit more about what kind of time we are in right now, and what we might look ahead to in the future.
Well, that's a huge discussion. But put it very simply, the black side is that there's only one final stage after dominance, and that's decline. But, and here's the bright side, you can see that for the framers, there was always the possibility of renewal. And what the Jews in the Old Testament called a return to the ways of the Lord, and the Puritans in early America called a revival and renewal, the framers had their own political equivalent. And George Mason, who was conservative, talked about a frequent recurrence to fundamental first principles. And even Jefferson, who was much more liberal, talked about a revolution every 20 years. In other words, there is the possibility to return to the past, but that takes leadership and that takes vision. Christians should be in the lead in pointing America towards what could be a genuine return to the past and a renewal and a new day for America. But we can't do it with slogans. Say Reagan's Morning in America. That was just empty advertising slogan. It's got to be substantive, and it's got to be based in faith, and it's got to be led by people who have a real vision of what they're leading towards.
Is there an opportunity to communicate that message, or because of maybe past associations, we've sort of lost our place at the table or in a public forum?
Well, the last great era in which faith was broadly popular and hospitable was the Eisenhower era. And the combination of the rise of the religious right and the rise of the culture warring has given religion, all religions, a very black eye in the educated classes. So today, take, say, the new atheists, there is a strident hostility against faith of any sort. Now, sadly, the Christian right has played into this and has been the stereotype that people wanted. So we need a visionary, civil, far-sighted Christian leadership that will strike out a new way, and this is a great moment for that to happen. Put it like this, Neil. When I first came to the U.S. as a visitor in 1968, for 30-odd years and more, faith had been privatized, privately engaging, publicly relevant. The wake-up year was 1973, Watergate, Roe v. Wade, OPEC, and so on. From the mid-70s right till now, you've had the era of the Christian right, and the temptation has been for faith to be politicized. And we're now towards the end of that. We need to go back, and I don't fully support the word I'm going to use, but I'll use the biblical word, prophetic, by which I mean in the Old Testament, when people did things according to the word of the Lord. Well, what did they do? They didn't go on tiresomely forever. They spoke the word of the Lord. They said to people who are leaving the Lord, if this is your choice, these will be your consequences. But then they themselves lived according to the word of the Lord. And our trouble is today, many in the Christian leadership go on and on and on about the culture tirelessly, and we do not have an alternative demonstration of a better way of living. And that's a double tragedy. So this is a watershed moment, and part of it is Christians need to go back to being more biblical and more faithful in their response to a culture that is declining and is departing from the Lord.
And we'd recommend the book, The Case for Civility, as a place to start. And
why, well, that'd be one place, yes, yeah. But far more importantly than that, going back to the Scriptures and studying how people like Samuel and Joshua and Jeremiah and others handle the challenge of what do good men do when societies depart from the Lord. There are huge lessons there. For instance, 1 Samuel 12, and when the people chose the king, Samuel didn't go on. He said, all right, you choose the king. These will be the consequences, and don't say I didn't tell you. But God forbid that I, in other words, he had his own calling, that he should be unfaithful to his calling, and clearly he kept on right through the lifetime of David and so on. We need to be more like Samuel in our responses.
And the good news is that we do have a roadmap if we would get back to following it.
Absolutely.